Well, hello there, and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian, and you're listening to episode 509 of Sustainable Minimalists. This is a listener-supported show about intentional and eco-friendly minimalist living. And on today's show, we are talking about seasonal living. Yes, but we are, of course, doing it with a twist. More specifically, my guest and I today are offering up alternatives to the commercialized, prepackaged, and overpriced ways so many of us tend to celebrate throughout the year. During all four seasons, life tends to become so loud with demands and obligations that those quiet moments, those inherently beautiful moments that may take a little bit more time or effort, but are indeed more beautiful and more lasting, those moments get pushed aside as inconsequential. And this is especially true during the month of December, isn't it? And by the way, this is not the holiday season. No, no, no. We are approaching the winter solstice. And my guest argues that when we follow our intuition, as opposed to following the flashy, bright, store-bought ways to celebrate, we will naturally, as in, with nature's help, get back to a place of connection, connection with others, connection with ourselves, connection with nature, and with traditions we cannot live without. My guest today is Bailey Van Tassel. She is a garden influencer. I love it. And she has a new book coming out soon. It's titled Kitchen Garden Living, Seasonal Growing and Eating from a Beautiful, Bountiful Food Garden. It's available for pre-order now. Bailey, so thrilled to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm absolutely honored to be here.
Well, I was so honored to be one of the first readers of your new book. It's out January 7th. It's all about growing, eating, celebrating, all things gardening. And it was lovely. What great pictures. Tell us who you are, what you do, and how you found yourself interested in gardening.
First of all, thank you so much for reading the book and getting a hold of the advanced copy. It's so fun to get to chat about it with someone. I am Bailey Van Tassel, and I'm really identify as just being like a wife and a mother, homemaker and gardener, but I actually as well am a kitchen garden designer and an author. So I teach people how to garden, I help them design beautiful spaces, and I create content all around that, ultimately to be like an influencer of vegetable gardening. That's the ultimate goal.
I love it. Instead of an influencer of cheap junk you can buy online, you're an influencer of gardening. That's so wonderful and beautiful. Well, I really enjoyed the beginning of your book because you have quite a story, a journey perhaps. You grew up on a farm. You rejected all things farm life. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but then you had a moment in which you realized, oh my goodness, your parents were right about everything. Can you talk to me about all of that? Because I've personally also had moments of those where I realized now as a 40-year-old, my parents were also kind of right about everything. So go
yes.
for it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It is the hero's journey that you never think you're going to experience. But I grew up in this sort of ag community in Northern California, Sonoma County, where they have like a great Pinot and the Russian River and all of that. My parents had a little hobby farm, and I just felt, I thought I was very girly. I was into ballet, dance, art. My parents were like going to rodeos, wearing Wranglers, out in the dirt constantly. And it just didn't feel like a match for me. But something must have been baked in. And what I did realize as I started maturing and left home, met my husband, was that the people and the characters that surrounded me and my upbringing were just absolute salt of the earth. And they cared so deeply about many things bigger than themselves. And I really felt like that the proximity to these wonderful people really did influence me in a way I wasn't even aware of until I started to really seek my own sense of purpose and grounding. And I had my first son, and all of a sudden I'm like, what world do I want him to inherit? And I was in, by that point, Southern California, and I had totally lived that leave home, high heels, briefcase, big job. I was traveling the world. I was living in LA, all these things. And I just didn't feel depth and meaning and purpose in any of those pursuits. Like trying to make enough money to buy a Gucci bag was just so hollow for me. And when I got married and had my first son, that's when the light bulb started going off, because I just reverted back to what I was raised with, where I was like, okay, I need like land for my kids to run on, a garden for them to tend, animals for them to care for. How are they going to learn to be resilient and resourceful and thoughtful and compassionate without these natural influences and other people who have similar values? And that's when I started being like, oh my God, my parents were so right. They like moved us out to the country. They inserted manageable trials into our lives with the farm and the animals and everything we had going on. And it clicked for me, like, okay, I understand now, A, why they were drawn to it, B, why they really pursued it. And now I find myself doing the same thing. And it's been so fun, because my parents are just like, they just crack up. They think it's absolutely hysterical now that I'm like covered in compost and dirt all the time. And as a child, I was having actual tantrums if I had to go on a hike or get dirty.
As I was reading your book, I was thinking about my own children and the environment that I want to raise them in. My husband and I, we were living in downtown Boston. I wanted them to have more nature. We picked a suburb. And while the suburb is lovely, it's gorgeous, a lot of natural beauty, let's say, it is still a suburb. And I do worry that it is a sterile environment of some sorts, contrived. It's not wild, let's put it that way. And so we are going to talk about seasonal living, but I just was really drawn to this part of the book when you wrote that, quote, you raise your kids in your own backyard. That really spoke to me. Can you explain what that means to you?
Yeah. So I was really struggling before we even had kids with the idea of living in the suburbs. And my husband, with his work, it just felt this is the foregone conclusion. We're going to stay in this very sort of sterile suburban atmosphere, and I have to bloom where I'm planted. And him and I were in a meeting with some men that I really respect, and I was lamenting about this. And I look back on it now, and I was actually being maybe like a little bit offensive, because I was like, I don't want to raise my kids in Southern California, in the suburbs, and griping about it, and realizing now, looking back, that was the life that these people chose for themselves. But the point that they made, which was so refreshing and no one had really encouraged me on, was you raise your children in your own backyard, meaning you have so much more control over what influences them and what they get exposed to. You are not like just a victim of the circumstance. So you really get to own that and be the example that you want to see in the world and that you want to set for your children. And so that really inspired me to infuse as much nature as I could and really follow my pursuits wholeheartedly. Where I started, I really wanted to garden. So I built two garden beds, which felt huge to me at the time and really did inform so much of the early years with my kids, where we were literally surrounded by concrete and we found space for these two raised beds. We started gardening together. And then the reason I was able to have these two raised beds is I had convinced our homeowners association to let me use like a dead patch of lawn to convert it to raised beds. And then I would share everything I grew with the neighborhood. And I did. So my son, my firstborn, I have three kids. He was 8 months old. We have this garden. We start growing things. And we would, our first harvest, a ton of basil. At that point, he was maybe 10 months, almost a year, 12, 13 months old, just learning to walk. We bundled up all these veggies that we grew, and he came with me door to door. I think there were like 8 or 9 townhouses is really what we were living at the end of a cul-de-sac. And we'd knock on the door and deliver these little bundles. I'd bundle them up with twine and a little note and give everyone their fresh veggies. And we didn't really know our neighbors. You know, Southern California is not like a super neighborly place all the time. There were a lot of sort of older folks there. And it became such a highlight of our lives. And it really exemplified this concept of, I chose to start gardening and to include my son and to go door to door. We brought the community in. It started to become a thing. Everyone got to know each other better. People are trying herbs and veggies they've never tasted before. And it was just so beautiful to see how much we could control and how much we could infuse our life with something meaningful and nature-based and just really create from scratch something out of nothing. And it was just, it was that full circle moment of, okay, I got this. I can find ways to create the feeling that I want for my kids.
I love that. The feeling you want for your kids. That is the perfect segue into the topic we're discussing today, which is, of course, seasonal living. And bringing this back to suburbia, this is a rhetorical question, but if you know the answer, please give it to me. When did seasonal living become synonymous with blow up lawn decorations? we're leaving fall, and I did not grow up in the 80s and 90s with blow up Halloween lawn decorations or Christmas, Hanukkah lawn decorations either. When did seasonal living become so darn commercialized? That's question one. Again, rhetorical. But question two is, we tend to think of seasonal living as buying stuff. So for autumn, it is, of course, the pumpkin spice latte, the big chunky sweater or a scarf with, again, the blow-ups all over the front lawn. I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that's not what seasonal living is for you, especially as you're trying to, again, create that feeling for your children. So how would you define seasonal living?
Yeah, I would define seasonal living as responding to and interacting with nature at your feet. And I think of that quote, be where your feet are, but it's really co-creating with Mother Nature, not to sound like crunchy or woo-woo, but it's really embracing your natural environment and weaving what's readily available outside your front door into your daily rhythms and into your traditions and anchoring yourself to those inevitable moments that will happen naturally, as opposed to thinking you need to go like acquire something new and shiny and fabricated to get yourself in the mood. It's really much more of an awareness and this sort of dance with nature and bringing it into your life that I feel like, especially in a more suburban city, fast-paced, sort of commercialized environment, it really helps you slow down, be present, and go seeking things that can unlock a lot more joy and just natural contentedness throughout the seasons that I feel like is really soothing for us as humans and certainly is for children, so that you create a longing for nature and its undulations, really. Because there are things, I feel like people, it's like, oh, you know, they always want to complain about the weather no matter where you live. But there's so much beauty in each of these seasons. And if we can learn to really lean into what they have to offer and really be aware of our natural environment, I find that it helps us really genuinely live more content lives.
Yeah, what I hear you saying there is it's about tuning in to, you use the words undulations, which is so lovely, tuning in to the rhythm of nature and living in tune with nature, perhaps, as opposed to just, we're in the winter solstice right now, as opposed to just going to the store, being bombarded with all the stuff, frankly, the lights, the noise, the sales, the deals, the all the stuff. Instead of letting advertisements and our commercialized culture set the stage and set the rhythms, let's take a step back and let nature be our guide. And I'm going to ask you about how do we do that. For a lot of us, especially those of us in suburbia, that sounds new and novel. It's not. Human beings have been doing that since the beginning of time. So I'm going to ask you how, but I'd love to drill down a little bit more on the why. What benefits have you experienced from stepping back from the commercialization, especially around the winter solstice and stepping into those rhythms of nature, those undulations of the natural world.
Yeah. And I realize it sounds really like ethereal and very nature woman when it's okay, I have to go actually buy Christmas gifts for people. And people, it maybe sounds very, I don't even know, just lost in time. And I'm a very modern woman, person, mother. Like we live a very modern life as well. But this is what really anchors us. So an example is we have this beautiful hedgerow on our property. And it's not like when the pumpkin spice latte hits Starbucks that it's autumn. And it's not when the peppermint mocha is available that it's winter. It's like when the goldenrod shifts to juniper berries. It's when you start to see all of the leaves fall from the trees. And it's really, we are so driven if we would allow ourselves by, for example, our circadian rhythms and the way the sunlight impacts our lives. If we allow that to drive us and influence us and be really at peace, I find that it helps us set a tone for the pace of our days and really give up the guilt and the hustle and bustle and all the chaos when we have a plan that sort of mimics nature. So how I do this, and I guess to answer your first question, why I do this is I feel like the pace of nature really complements actually our modern lives. So if we're in winter right now, it's really a slow season, but there's a lot going on with all of the holidays, and it's really helping us to actually physically slow down, even if we don't want to. It's a time for planning. It's a time for storing. It's a time for preparing. And the more we allow ourselves to live in that, there's even less light for us to achieve all of the things we think we need to achieve. I believe that really aligning ourselves with that natural pace helps us as humans, for lack of a better term, just calm down. You know, I mean, and the facts about anxiety in not only children, but women who I think it's something like 90% of modern women today experience a high level of anxiety. And so it's literally to combat that. And gardening in itself as a very small sort of subsection of nature, getting your hands in the dirt actually releases serotonin. So there's all of this like science and biology that also comes into play when you're outside and you're enjoying the seasons and nature and gardening and plants. And I think we are really drawn to that. We just don't always allow ourselves to let that be enough. For example, each season, I feel like it's really common for people to put like wreaths up on their doors. And so that's a great way, whether it's winter, spring, autumn, to go out and forage for something in the woods or in a park or in nature. Even if we used to have to drive like 45 minutes to go somewhere where I could like forage. It wasn't like a park where it felt like I was stealing from the city. But that becomes a ritual. That becomes a tradition. And then it's okay, this winter, we're going to go out and find like holly berries and we're going to make something with them. And that becomes the anchor that I feel like just slows everyone down. It creates some intentionality and it really infuses your life with some texture that in this day and age is in some places a little bit unusual, but I feel like really helps my kids refocus so they're not just sitting inside circling toys in the Amazon catalog. Like, let's go make something out of the fall leaves and let's go make tracks in the snow.
It's time for a quick sponsor break, and I have a question for you. Have you ever heard something on a podcast and thought, oh, I got to write that down, but then you miss it because pausing and rewinding is such a hassle? Well, don't worry, I have you covered. I am obsessed these days with this amazing app called ChatPods. Whenever a quote catches my ear, I just tap a button on ChatPods and it will instantly transcribe and save the moment for me to revisit later. This is how I listen to my favorite shows, and I would love it for you to try it with my show. I've linked to ChatPods in this week's show notes, so you can click on the hyperlink there. Whether you're commuting, working out, or just on the go, ChatPods lets you capture and summarize key takeaways effortlessly. Download Chat Pods directly from the App Store or Google Play, or click on the hyperlink in this week's show notes and use it to listen to this podcast, Sustainable Minimalists, today.
I love that, especially with regard to having routines, rituals, perhaps every single year, making the wreath with your children by foraging the plant material. I would say in my home, we try to do the same as well. In autumn, every year, we make a scarecrow with all the leaves and pine needles that have fallen on our lawn. I've been doing this with my oldest daughter she's 10. We've probably been doing it for about 8 years. And I should say the scarecrow wears the same clothes every year. The scarecrow does have a name. His name is Freddie. So I think what I hear you saying there, Bailey, is that we can enjoy the seasons without going full on into the commercialization piece. I'm going to keep ragging on these blow up things because I really do hate them. It's just a personal opinion. But instead of the ritual being going to Home Depot and buying a new blow up, maybe the ritual is going in your backyard and foraging those holly berries or whatever it could be for you. Like, we can still enjoy the seasons without buying into the hoopla.
I was just thinking about the concept of minimalism. And so it's the other part of it I talk about with the kids is we're not trying to just acquire all the things where it's like each year you're bringing out 17 Rubbermaids full of winter and Christmas decor. And it's, God forbid, it's Nordic Christmas Pinterest season and it's not Irish Christmas. And now you got to go from plaid to neutrals. Let's go out and enjoy the seasons. And then we let it go. And then it's done. We've made like these little wax leaf garlands where we like collect new fallen leaves and we make a garland out of it. And then when it's done and we get to look forward to that next year, but we release it and we move with the season. And so, you know, now in winter, we're embracing all of our fun winter traditions and maybe we're making our gingerbread cookies. And then when that's done in spring, we're not doing gingerbread cookies. In spring, we're doing shortbread cookies with flowers or whatever. But that's what it means to succumb to it. And you're not just like amassing all this stuff and buying into all the trends. You get to set your own pace and really just absolve yourself of that frenzy.
Yes. Well, you mentioned the frenzy. And I have to ask you, I'm thinking to myself, you know, we're in the midst of the holiday season. There is a frantic feeling that's associated with the holidays, especially during the month of December. We can't, or at least I can't, completely exit the frenzy. I do have two children and I don't want to be a Grinch, but I do want to live seasonally, live more authentically. And for me personally, that's not about going headfirst into the frenzy. Do you have any thoughts on marrying a desire to be festive, a desire to perhaps make magic, holiday magic for our children, but also not get swept up in the holiday craze?
We have a lot of like ultra modern traditions too. Every year we, you know, go to the certain Christmas tree lightings and we go to holiday parties and our kids do get gifts and all of that. And they're not always handmade. We will totally. I remember last year we were like, my son only really wanted this Ninja Turtle blaster Nerf gun. And we were like, I don't even want to do Nerf guns. He's like set on this whole thing. It was like this whole thing. And my husband's like going to Walmart 2 days before Christmas. And there are moments when we are very just cringy normal in that regard. But I would say something that I feel like really turns the tide and gives an exhale amongst the chaos is when we invite our kids in to really give. And you don't need to like adopt a family for Christmas, but this year we're making vanilla extract for everyone as gifts. And it's really that moment of how can we be a light for others and learning to recognize that feeling in ourselves of how good it feels to give and be in community and do something for someone else and see their eyes light up. And finding cool opportunities to be in that spirit of the season, which is totally a grumble moment, I feel like, for a lot of kids where it's like they don't want to give presents to other people or they're just not fully feeling it. But we get to set the tone with our enthusiasm and our example and really let that be a part of what we do. So, you know, handmade or hand cooked-ish, whatever, gifts for people tend to be something that we lean into so that the kids get to experience the joy of creating and giving and being resourceful and adding your seasonal touches to it. And I find that is a fun way to bring things back to center. And also, I feel like those are really touching examples for your neighbors and friends. And as you are bringing hostess gifts and things like that, people absolutely feel that you've taken time out to do something special for them. And I feel like that's one way to turn the tables on the chaos season. And a couple other things we do just top of my head, depending on just, I choose like a big, thick book to start like mid-fall to get us through winter that I read aloud to the kids or with the kids, like as they're learning to read. And that becomes a great anchor as well. I feel like we get super exhausted and the sun's going down and everyone's just like worn by the end of the day. But if we can make those moments really craveable, and I'm so obsessed with this idea because I do this for myself even when I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to fold 7 baskets of laundry. I try to make it craveable. So at the end of our days in the winter season when it's darker and colder, it's like we're lighting the fire, we're getting our book out, everyone's getting bone broth hot chocolate, we're in our jammies, you can just stay up 5 minutes later than normal and we're going to read our book. And we just make it something that everybody craves and that really slows everything down and becomes a great way to transition us through the day, gives us something to look forward to that isn't so chaotic.
That you just painted such a beautiful picture in my mind of you all in your jammies with your hot cocoa around the fire with a great book. And that speaks to me because for me, the winter solstice is always naturally just about hibernating, I want to say. That might not be the best word, but it's about slowing down, recentering, perhaps even after the craze of the holidays. I mean, a lot of us tend to just tire ourselves out in December. So January becomes about rest, right? Because we did way too much in December. But for me, generally, the winter is about embracing a slower way of life, perhaps, and recentering myself around my family. I do still like to get outdoors. So that's why I say perhaps hibernating is not the best word. But do you have any other suggestions for living seasonally during the winter solstice in particular?
So winter solstice, I feel like really is while we're resting, it's actually planning and preparing. So it's a really cerebral time of the year, especially for gardeners, because as soon as that soil is able to be worked, we are going to want to be outside. So as soon as spring even winks at us, we are going to be starting to get really busy. So winter is really such a good time to start thinking about what are the goals for my garden? What do I want to be planting, sowing, harvesting deep into the season? Like we're really projecting forward and into how do I set myself up next year for success? And how organizing your seeds, getting your tools clean, it's that puttering and planning that I feel like gives winter a lot of purpose. Because if you prepare well, then spring's going to go really smooth and it allows for a lot more abundance during that coming season. So I find that is a really great way to add a little bit of activity into the slower season while you have the time. So you're not just like on your heels as you move into a faster pace when spring comes. Some other things we're just doing so much cooking and baking and souping in the winter. And I feel like that's also a really lovely thing to really sink into is really having especially my kids in the kitchen with me a lot. I feel like winter's really like easy, they're easy, cozy meals to have them helping out with and really continuing to have some of that like sensory element at play where they're really hands-on still because they are inside a lot more. But I also agree with you. They say there's no bad weather, just bad clothing or something like that, where it's get bundled, get outside and enjoy that cold element too, which is really therapeutic for us, especially to get outside when there's daylight in the winter is so good for us health-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned doing a lot of cooking in the winter, and that made me think, yeah, I just naturally do an awful lot of cooking in the winter, more than normal. I stock my deep freezer during the winter months. A big reason is because my house is cold and turning on the oven is a great way to heat it up a little. But as I'm thinking about moving into spring, or if we want to be a little bit more specific, the spring equinox, that's, first of all, my favorite season. And people think I'm crazy because here in New England, it's a muddy mess until April. But for me, spring is about obviously rebirth, but like rejuvenation, coming out of the slower pace and back into setting new goals, getting back out there, I guess is the best way I can put it. So before we wrap up, Bailey, I'm just wondering, do you have any suggestions for how I can best enjoy my favorite season, which of course is the spring equinox, without going to Home Goods or some store and buying all new stuff with pastels and flowers on it?
Yeah, it's a well-timed question. Depending on where you are, you still might be able to get some bulbs in the ground now so that by spring you have flowers popping up out of the soil, like even in the chilly part of spring. So you could even force some bulbs inside. Now is a great time to do that. In winter, we prepare for spring in that way too, where we're planting bulbs even inside, like amaryllis or paper whites. And we can really look forward to that component of spring and really having those fresh bulbs come up, remind us that it's a new beginning and it's ready to get out there again. There are a lot of like early harvestables too. I'm just thinking about like, the shift in seasons is the shift in our sort of culinary palate too. So now you're going to start really eating a lot more of those carrots and tender greens and getting to do, you know, like onions. You can get some early onions and early potatoes out where you can really start to pull things up out of the earth if you've overwintered them and start to just introduce nature more in that way. I actually love this trend, especially for spring, as there is more natural color, bringing flowers inside and then adding veggies or like kale to your flower arrangements. A lot of edible flowers do fantastic in that early spring. So we're thinking like pansies. These are all great ways to get some edible flowers in the mix with what you're cooking, but preserving them and doing some fun crafts. Like this is in the book too, like making bookmarks or little gift tags, like really starting to embrace like flower power, getting all of these blooms folded in. Roses are going to start coming back to life. And I think it's a really good time as well to bring some of those heavily scented blooms inside as they're waking up. And really that whole spring cleaning concept, I feel like it's actually best done in winter so that as spring emerges, you just have a fresh start when you change the sheets on the bed and start to really bring nature inside into your home decor in that sense. We're cleaning out all the like heaviness of the house and bringing in light, wispy flowers and vines to start indicating that spring is here.
Hmm. Spring for me is all about starting seeds inside. And there's something about seeing those little seedlings pop out of the dirt. My daughters get so darn excited. I get so darn excited. Spring is also in my household about putting on the boots and going for lots of hikes. It's just so silly, but I just love seeing rebirth through plants poking up through the ground after a long snowy winter. Just one more thought here, Bailey. I'm thinking a lot about the connections between seasonal living throughout the year, yes, but also embracing seasons of life, right? Like I'm in a season of life right now in which I feel like I'm in my caretaking season. Let's put it like that. It's less about earning accolades and having amazing experiences. And it's more about supporting my daughters, supporting my parents, supporting those closest to me. I'm in my caretaking era. Do you have any connections to make between embracing seasons of life and embracing a life that's centered around the garden, around the outdoors? And I'm sorry, that's a really tough question. I'm sorry about
it. No, I have an answer, and I don't know if it's going to sound morbid, but for one, I think we've really lost sight as a culture of the seasons that women go through and finding a lot of significance within them. I feel like I was just reading something about this where there's so much glory for the maiden and the matriarch. There's like the young maiden when you're like in your peak, you look beautiful, no fine lines, no gray hairs, you're energetic, you've got full red lips, you're like living your dream. And then you're in those middle years, like you're talking about the caretaker years, or maybe they are when you start to rediscover creativity, purpose, a little bit, but you're still really beholden to some of the caretaking and obligations that you need to lean into and that we all love, but sometimes just are a lot. And then there's that matriarch year where you're sort of revered as the queen bee of the family. And so these middle years get lost a little bit, but in the garden, those are the harvest years. So I talk about this with my kids too, and I can't even remember if this made it into the book. I wanted to tell the story of my father passing because I got to be with him in his absolute final moments, and it was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had. And it can be challenging depending on your scenario or whatever, but in the garden, in nature and life, we see this where there's the spring, there's like the maiden, right? And everything's being planted and started. It's very hopeful. And then you've got that mid-season, you've got summer. It's pressure, it's heat, it's wilting. You're working really hard to make sure that there's fruit and vegetable to harvest. And then you go into autumn and winter where things slow down. You enjoy your harvest in the fall. And then in winter, we go back into hibernation and prepare to be reborn. These are the closing chapters where we're really at peace. It's so peaceful. If you're standing in a field filled with snow, watching snowflakes fall from the sky, like that is peace. And that is winter to me. And I feel like that's the actual human experience completely mimics nature in this way. And similar to what I was saying at the beginning of the conversation, the more that we can be where our feet are, be in the season that we're in and find like these absolute sparkling nuggets of beauty within it that we get to look forward to, the more I feel like we really are honoring ourselves and where we've been, where we are, and where we're going without any of that like disdain for what's to come. If you're worried about, someone asked me the other day what my age was. And I was like, oh, I'm like stoked to talk about it. I don't care. That doesn't offend me for someone to ask me that. And so I think, especially for women, as we are, I'm 37. So I'm like, my girlfriends and I are all joking that we're like, are we middle-aged? Are we entering middle age? And it's shifting our identities a little bit. But I think that it's cool because I'm seeing all of us step into this new role, especially as mothers, where we're not in like the baby tiny stage anymore. We actually get to set, we're really starting to set the example for our children of what it looks like to be a happy adult. Cause now they're recording, now they're developing memories. Like you've nurtured them and taken care of them through the seasons where like they're not even remembering what's going on. That's all going to be baked in on instinct. But now we're really showing them what it looks like to live present and life that we're really proud of. And I feel like it is also, it's a hard working season. It's the summer of our lives where we're really expending a lot of energy because we know we're going to reap the benefit of the harvest one season forward.
I really appreciate that answer, Bailey. And I'm thinking when you're in, let's just say, the summer, it does nobody any good to wish that it was spring, let's say, or wish it was something other than right exactly where you are right now. And I'm extrapolating out and thinking about my life. I turned 40 this year and I had a lot of big feelings about that. But this is where I am. This is where my feet are. There's no sense in thinking about or trying to bring back my glory days because I'm here now. And just as every season has a purpose within a year, every season of life also has a purpose and beauty to embrace. I think that's what I hear you saying, and I love it. And I'm going to think about that the next time a new wrinkle pops up.
Yes. There are two more things I want to say. One, my mom set a really good example of this where she was really good at making, like adding magic into everything we did. So even if it was like, I look back on it now and I think about how busy you can be where she was, I had ballet recitals and school obligations, and then we had family and we had holiday and like all the chaos we're talking about. And she really did a good job of adding really fun, magical elements into each of those things where I never felt like she was discontent in the season that she was in, because she was really like making the most of it. And that's just who she is as a person. I remember when I was little, like the lights, like the power would go out and she would like light the candles and make a picnic in the living room. And like, she's just very good at that. But I feel like we need to learn how to do that in these more seasonal moments, tying that to age and beauty and all that, like finding ways to earmark these milestones with excitement. But the other thing I wanted to mention, because I just had this memory, I was in a Starbucks 15 years ago. And I saw this woman standing in line with her two kids, and she was holding one of the kids in her arms. And when your kids are like sitting in your arms and they're looking at you and you're having like a snuggle, but you're holding them, she's just waiting in line and you're having a chat. And it was probably like, I would say a 3-year-old little boy that she was holding. And the boy grabs her face like with both of his hands and says, "Mama, you're so beautiful." And she says, "Thank you, baby. I feel beautiful." And I was like, oh my gosh, what a sweet moment. As the woman proceeds through the line, she turns her head just naturally. And a full side of her face is covered in what looks like scars from a burn. Like really shocking to see, to be totally honest. And I will never forget the moment, because she looked so confident, so radiant, so unaffected by that. And her son didn't even see it. Like, he felt like she was so beautiful. And I feel like walking through each season of our life with that sort of embracing of who we are and where we're at allows everyone around us to recognize beauty in that sort of confidence and self-awareness and assuredness and self-acceptance, really. So this obviously is now like going beyond just seasons, but I felt compelled to share that story because it reminds me, as we're all changing, there are those moments where you don't feel beautiful or you're wishing for your dewy glass skin from a decade ago.
Yeah, I'm getting a little emotional. What a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. Well, let's talk about your book, Kitchen Garden Living, Seasonal Growing and Eating from a Beautiful, Bountiful Food Garden. I love it. Tell us when it comes out, where we can find it, where we can find you, all the good stuff.
Yes, thank you. Kitchen Garden Living comes out January 7th, but it's available right now on Amazon for pre-order. Pre-orders matter so much for authors. It tells the bookstore gods that you are excited and helps them stock the shelves. It's all about how to actually grow and tend to and design a kitchen garden, as well as some of these seasonal living tips, how to get the community involved, how to really live your life with the garden as an anchor within it, so we can reorient ourselves in that direction. But you can find me at baileyvantassel.com. There's information and links to buy the book there. And then I'm also most active over on Instagram, also just Bailey Van Tassel is my handle. I'm very responsive to DMs and questions and all the things.
I really enjoyed our conversation, Bailey. I wish you so much success with the new book and happy winter.
Thank you. You as well.
Listeners, that's a wrap. My friends, show notes are at mamaminimalist.com/509. Now you have homework today. The homework is you have 1 week to do it. Watch Buy Now on Netflix if you haven't watched it already. So many of you have been reaching out to me saying, oh my gosh, have you seen it? It's so good. What a great documentary. So yes, it's a documentary on Netflix. It came out 2 weeks ago. It's titled Buy Now. Your homework is to watch the documentary. And then part two of your homework is to DM me on Insta, or you can email me your biggest takeaway from the film. I may use your first name only, and your comment in a future episode, but that's your homework. Watch it. You'll enjoy it. Trust me. It's well done. Very well done. And then DM me the thing that made your mouth drop open. Okay. That's your homework. Next up, really quick reminder, this show is listener supported. And guess what? This show needs about 200 more supporters. My plan was to keep the show running until the end of this year, until the end of 2024, and then see where it was at from a financial perspective. The answer to where the show is at is it's not in a great place financially, unfortunately. So if you are in the spirit of giving during this winter solstice, please consider giving to this show by becoming a supporter to keep it in existence into 2025 and beyond. You can do so on Substack or Apple Podcasts. And thank you. And by the way, to sweeten the pot a little bit, Thursday's episode of this week will be only for subscribers. It's all about how to give the perfect gift. Now, this topic has been on my mind for a long darn time. I have scoured all reputable sources and have put together an epic, and I do mean epic, list of ideas for gift giving in ways that your recipients will love. So not harmful to the planet, not unnecessarily wasteful, but ways that still show your love. Because at the end of the day, that's what giving a gift is, right? Showing somebody with a thing that they mean something to you. So that's a brand new episode. It's only for subscribers. It comes out on Thursday. I will see you then. Reach out if you need me, and take care.